This morning, I want to speak to you about the home. The home, of course, it's something that God created in the Garden of Eden when He married Adam and Eve, and they had children. And as the devil, as Brother Wendell sang about a moment ago, attacked the source of music, attacked Jesus, and tried to kill Jesus as a baby, and then tried to kill Him when they nailed Him to a tree, that Satan today is attacking the home. I mean, you look at the divorce rate. I read something I couldn't believe this week, that the divorce rate has passed 60% in the United States of America. 60% of all marriages end in divorce. You read about child abuse and everything that's happening. And look, Satan is behind all that. Satan would like to destroy our homes. I was talking this morning to Debbie, my wife, about some of the things that are happening and all the pressures that are being brought to bear on our home. A lot of, and it's time pressure. We get so caught up in so many things that if we don't watch it, our homes are the place that suffers. I mean, we have our work, and we have the things that we do in church, and we have the things that we'd like to be a part of in all walks of life. And if we're not careful, the place that we put on the back burner and the place that we put at the end of the line and the place that is last on our list are our homes. And my dear friend, it should be just the opposite. It should be just the opposite. Because you see, God established the home before He did the church. Now that tells me that, and I'm for serving God in through the local New Testament church. I'm for being involved in everything the church has and every ministry it has. But it ought to be after we've taken care of the home that we take care of the church. It ought to be after we have taken care of our family that we take care of the church. And so this morning, I want to say, I want to paint a couple pictures for you. Because my desire for you is that your home be a success. The same for myself. My desire for you is that your home be a godly home where husband and wife live their lives together and meet each other's needs, where children are raised in a godly environment where they decide to serve the Lord, and they do. Where God is honored and He's lifted up. And this morning, I want, in order to say some things about the home and how you can make your home that way, I want to look at two homes that are in the Bible. One of them was a success in God's eyes. Husband and wife stayed together. Kids were raised for God. God was honored. The other one was a failure. Husband and wife did not stay together. Children turned their back on God. And God was not honored in that home. And as I paint these pictures, I'm going to give you some things, some things that I think we need to do in our homes if we're to make them a success for the kingdom of God. And so I'd ask that you'd listen. As I preach on the subject, make thee an ark. Make thee an ark. Father, thank You for letting us be here this morning. Thank You for each one that's here. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, that You would meet with us, that You would move in a miraculous way in every life, that You would teach us some things this morning that would help our homes. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The successful home was the one that Walt mentioned a moment ago as he read the story of Noah. Noah's home. Noah's family. As he read, Noah lived in a time much like ours. It was a wicked time. A time when the Bible says the earth was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. You read the 5th and 6th chapter of Genesis, you'll find the Bible says that people did whatever came into their mind. Whatever they thought of, they did. And yet in all this wickedness, in all this corruption, Noah stood for God. When the whole world was headed for hell, when the whole world was serving the devil, Noah, the Bible says, did right. He did those things. He obeyed God. Now, he was not in the majority. The passage that Walt read a moment ago, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because Noah was standing for God. It doesn't mention about that about any other person that was alive back then. The Bible says that it was only him, and he stood in a minority. And part of his family, his brothers and his sisters, were against him. And his aunts and his uncles, and they all looked at him, and some of them made fun of him. But he says, I'm going to stand for God. Now listen, don't you know that the devil attacked his home? And if you're trying to do right today in your home, the devil is going to come after you. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, the devil's not after me. Yes, he is. Because he wants your home to fail. He wants it to fall apart. Because the devil knows that if he can get your home, he can get you. And the devil knows that if he... Look, our church will not be any stronger than the homes that make it up. I mean, we might be able to draw in great crowds. And we might be able to give a lot of money toward missions. But if the homes that make up our congregation aren't successful, if they're not God-honoring homes that are raising God-honoring children, where husband and wife love each other and stick together and honor God, then our church is a failure. We could run hundreds, Brother Wendell, and if the homes that don't make up our church are strong and godly, we failed in our ministry. And so Satan attacked Noah's home. He had people make fun of it, and he had relatives make fun of it, and he tried to get Noah discouraged and tried to defeat him. Yet in all of the attacks that the devil brought against Noah and his home, Noah and Mrs. Noah stayed together. For over 600 years, they were married. Now, we rejoice when we hear about somebody being married for 75 years, but ladies, can you... imagine being married to the same man for over 600 years. They raised 3 kids. Some of the men are saying, oh, I can. Hey, it sounds pretty good to me. Right, Brother Vern? They raised 3 kids. And they were kids, boys that honored God and honored their parents. Their boys married, and their daughter-in-laws honored Noah and Mrs. Noah and honored their God. So I want to look at Noah's home as a successful home, as the one we should pattern ourselves after. Now, to give you the picture of the other side, I want to look at Lot's home. Lot. We talked about Lot here before, but Lot knew God. I believe Lot was a Christian. I believe that he learned a lot about what it was to follow God from his uncle Abraham. And Lot lived in a world much like Noah. The Bible, he lived in the city of Sodom. And the Bible says that the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah was great, and their sin was grievous. And in that Christian home that Lot moved into Sodom, Satan also brought on his attacks. And he made fun of the home, and he tried to get him discouraged and defeated. And Lot's home didn't stand. His marriage was broken. His wife was killed by God because she looked back toward the city. They had 3 married daughters. All of them and their families made fun of the God of their dad. He had 2 single daughters that at the end committed wicked sin with their father. And any way you look at it, Lot's home was a failure. And any way you look at it, Noah's home was a success. Now what made the difference? Why did Noah succeed in having a godly home and a godly family and Lot fail? Let me give you 4 reasons. You knew they were coming, or else I wouldn't ask the question. But let me give you 4 reasons this morning why I think Noah was successful and Lot was not. Number 1, I believe Noah believed God. Noah believed God. You say, Brother Darrell, how could he believe God? He didn't have any Bible. He did not have the Bible yet. Now, I don't think the old book of Genesis, where we find his story, was written yet. But he had the Word of God as it was passed down to him from Adam and then Seth and on down the line. He had heard the story of Adam and Eve. In fact, Adam was still alive when Noah was a little boy. And Noah could go to his great-great-great-great-great-granddad, however many greats there are, and he could sit at Adam's feet and Noah could hear the story of the Garden of Eden. Noah could hear the story as told by Adam how God gave them the prohibition or the rule not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Noah could sit at his great-granddad's feet and hear the story how Adam took that fruit and ate of it and how God had to punish that sin. He could hear the story of Cain and Abel, how God told him what to offer as sacrifice and how Abel presented an offering that pleased God and Cain did not. He could hear the story of Enoch, who sold himself out to God and walked with God, and how God took him home with him. And Noah decided, I'm going to believe God. When God says, live for Him, when God says, obey Him, when God says to honor Him, Noah says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to obey Him. And when the whole world had turned to pleasure, when the whole world had turned to doing whatever came to mind, Noah says, this is not right. I'm going to stand for my God. I'm going to do what my God tells me to do. And when God says, Noah, judgment is coming. I'm going to have to punish this sin. There's going to be great destruction that's going to come on the earth. Noah says, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. Now, you look at Lot. Lot also had word. He didn't have the Old Testament, but God had the Word of God as it was passed to him by Abraham. He had enough knowledge of God that he should have known when Abraham gave him the choice to pick which part of the land that he was going to go on. Lot should have said, I'm not going to pick, Uncle Abraham. You pick. You're the elder. God says I'm to respect my elders and to defer to them. So I defer the choice to you. Lot should have said that, but he didn't believe God. He didn't do it. When God said, you should stay, when, as he was taught by his uncle, you should stay away from evil. Don't get near it. Lot should have known not to pitch his tent toward Sodom. He should have known not to move into the city. He should have known that he should have stayed true to God and lived for God. See, I don't think Lot believed God. I don't think Lot believed when Abraham said, Lot, God punishes sin. I don't think Lot believed when Abraham says, you're going to reap what you sow. My dear friend, let me ask you, especially this question directed to dads and moms, husband and wives this morning, or even if you're here and you're single, it's directed at you. What in your home, who do you believe? Do you believe God? Do you believe Him? Have you put your trust in Him for eternity? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? That's the first thing that we need to believe from this book, is that we're sinners headed for hell, but that when Jesus died on the cross, He died for us to pay for our sin, to pay our penalty. Do you believe that? Husband, do you believe enough of God that you get into this book to find out what it says to be a godly husband? Do you believe God enough to search this book, dear ladies, to find out what it means to be a godly wife? Do you believe God enough to raise your children by the principles that He puts in this book? Do you believe Him enough to run your homes by the standards that He puts in this book? Many of us say, I believe God. I believe God. Yes, I believe God. And yet, we don't take the time to find out what He tells us. We don't take the time to read and study this book for the things that He tells us in here about how to keep our marriages together, about how to raise our little boys to be men that stand for Him, about how to raise our little girls to be ladies that honor God and honor their husbands. If we really believe God, that He knew everything and that He was all-powerful, if we really believe that He had all the answers, we'd be reading this book before we read a book that Dr. Spock wrote. We'd be reading this book before we go to some marriage counselor. We'd be reading this book before we went to some worldly psychiatrist or psychologist that think they knew all the answers. If we believe God, we'd spend our time in this book. Noah believed God, but Noah did more than that. He gave himself to God. It's one thing to believe somebody. It's another to give your life to that belief. Brother Wendell can believe all day that that pew will hold him up. But until he gives himself to that pew and sets on it, it's to no avail. The devils believe God, but they don't give themselves to Him. God said, Noah, judgment's coming. There's going to be a flood coming. It's going to destroy the whole earth. There's only one way for you to escape. I want you to build an ark. And here's how. And he gave him specific instructions on how to build it. And Noah says, I believe God. I'm going to give myself to God. And for over 100 years, Noah worked on that way of escape. He worked on that ark. His family ridiculed him. His friends questioned his wisdom. If we could read the Galilean Times back in Noah's day, there would be editorial after editorial making fun of Mr. Noah. But Noah says, I'm going to give myself to God. And for 100 years, he did. The world couldn't understand it. It didn't have the same, Noah didn't have the same priorities that they did. The world's priorities was go ahead, have fun, live life for all it's worth. Noah says, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to build this way of escape. Not the same thing is true of Lot. Now Lot was a Christian. You read over in 1 and 2 Peter, it talks about righteous Lot, how he vexed his righteous soul. I believe Lot's in heaven this morning. But who did Lot give himself to? Who did Lot give himself to? Look at his life. He made his home in the wicked city of Sodom. He sat on the city council of that wicked city. He married a woman as his wife from Sodom. He let his daughters marry men of Sodom. He didn't speak out against their sin. He made his living there. He shared their priorities. He had their standards. He looked at life from their perspective. And he lived in that wicked place. And the Bible said that wickedness vexed his righteous soul. Let me ask you this morning, in your home, in your lives, who have you given yourself to? Who have you given yourself to? You say, oh, Brother Darrell, I'm a Christian. I've given myself to God. Well, let me ask you this. If an independent auditor, somebody that did not know you, somebody that you did not know, and you hired them and said, I would like you to look at my life and tell me, who have I given myself to? Have I given myself to God or have I given myself to the devil? Am I living by the principles in this book or am I living by the principles of the world? All I want you to do is look at my life for a couple weeks and tell me. And that person followed you around for 2 weeks. And they watched as you went to work. And they watched as you watched TV. And they watched as to what kind of activities that you gave your energies to. And you gave your enthusiasm to. They watched how you spent your money. They watched how you spent your time. They watched as as you lived your life for 2 weeks. And then that person was to come back and give a verdict. What would they say? What would they say? Noah says, I'm going to give myself to God. And my dear friend, there was not any question in anybody's mind who Noah was living for. He was different from the world. He had different priorities. His standards were different. And people could look at Noah's life and say, there's somebody that's given themselves to God. He spends his time, he spends his energies, he spends his money, his priorities are godly. But if somebody independently looked at Lot, they would have to say he has not given himself to God, he's given himself to the world. And so many of us as Christians who believe this book have not given ourselves to God. If an independent auditor was to come and look at our lives, many of us, he would say, based on what I can see, you're living for the world. And there's no way that you can have a godly home doing that. We've got to give ourselves to God. Number three, Noah built an ark. He built an ark. What a boat, 450 feet long, 150 feet wide, 45 feet tall. Three stories. The Bible says one door, one window. Room enough for all the animals. Room enough for everyone who wanted to come and be saved from the flood. There was room enough for all. I believe that if there were 100 people that when Noah preached, if there was 100 people, there would have been room for all the people. If there was 1,000 people, there would have been room for 1,000 people. I believe there was a lot of empty space on that boat. God had made a way of escape for everybody. Noah built an ark. And when the judgment came, when the waters came, when the flood came, Noah had a place that he and his family could go to escape the judgment. What about Lot? You know the story, many of you. When the fire and brimstone fell from heaven, part of Lot's family was there. When he escaped with his wife, she looked back and was turned to a pillar of salt. Lot didn't have any place of refuge like Noah did. Lot didn't have any place of safety like Noah did. When destruction came, his family was destroyed. Have you built an ark? Have you built an ark for your family? Have you built something in your family that your children, when trouble, and you and your wife, or you and your husband, when trouble comes, when sorrow comes, you have a refuge? You say, Brother Darrell, what do you mean? I don't want you to go out and build a boat. I don't want you to go out and build an ark. But I want you to build a place of refuge for your family. And you do that, and Brother John almost preached my sermon in Sunday school class again this morning, but you build that place of refuge by getting in this book. You build that place of refuge by learning what it is to pray. You don't build it, as Brother John said, by just reading this book. You build it by living this book. You don't build it just by saying, now I lay me down to sleep. You build it by getting on your face before God and letting your children see how God answers prayer. So that when trouble comes, and when trial comes, and when judgment comes, you have a place that your children can go, that you can go to get the answer. To get to safety. To get you through. Look, trials are going to come to every life. And trouble is going to come to every life. And sorrow is going to come to every life. That's part of life. But Noah had an ark that he could go into to escape it. He had a place of refuge, a place where he could make it through the flood. But Lot didn't. And if our families are going to be godly families, if our homes are going to be homes that stand for God, we need that same thing. We need to build them an ark. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, I've given my children a self-confidence. They're self-confident. They have confidence in their abilities. That's good. And you should give your children self-confidence. But what happens when the bottom falls out? You say, I've given my children a business sense. I've given my children, they know what it is. They can manage money. But what happens when the economy falls and everything's worth nothing? What happens then? They say, I've given my children a personality and they know what it is, they know how to act in different situations. Or I've given them a good education. But my dear friend, there's going to come a day in our homes where that's not good enough. Where they need a refuge, and this is the only refuge that sees us through everything. Where they need a way of safety. Build an ark. Build an ark. And then number four, and this is not really something you do, but something that results from the other three. Noah's family followed him in. God said, Noah, it's going to start raining. All the animals are on the ark. All the food's there. You better get on. I can picture that scene in my mind. Noah walks up the gangplank. Perhaps there's a question in his mind. Is my wife going to come? Are my boys going to come? Are my daughter-in-laws going to come? Noah got to the top of the gangplank. He turned around and looked. I think there may be tears in his eyes. There comes Mrs. Noah. There comes Ham. There comes Shem. There comes Japheth. There comes my three daughter-in-laws. They all got into the boat. They all made it through the flood because Noah lived his life in such a way that when trouble came and he says, this is the answer, this is the way to make it through, his wife and his children and his sons and his daughter-in-laws came right behind him because he believed God, because he gave himself to God, because he built an ark. Now contrast that with the family of Lot. When Lot went to his married daughters and said, destruction is coming through this city, the Bible said they ridiculed him. The angel had hold of him and his wife and his two single daughters and pulled them out of his city, out of the city of Sodom. They got out of the city, but they couldn't get the city of Sodom out of his wife. She turned to look back, and God killed her. Let me ask you this morning, would your children follow you up the gangplank? Would your husband? Would your wife? Many of you are here today, and I know your spouse doesn't come with you. But the way you live your life, we talked about in our open assembly in Sunday school, is a much more powerful message than anything you can say. The things you do day to day, the way you live your life, the person you've given your life to is a powerful message. Live it for God.
Live it for Him. Give yourself to Him. Don't live according to the priorities of the world. Don't let Satan get in and destroy your home. You believe God. You give yourself to Him. You stay in this book. You keep praying to Him. You build an ark and bring your family in. Father, thank You that You've